the Our Secret Spot podcast, your look through the keyhole into Australia's hottest swingers club.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Our Secret Spot, the podcast. My name is Lawrence.
We tried really hard not to do that. I'm Jess. I don't know why. You say it and I'm like, oh, it doesn't sound right.
Why?
I don't. You know when like you hear him doing something normal and it's like, then he does it over and repeats and it doesn't sound right? Like you say one word and it's like, you say Jessica and then you keep repeating it. It's like, oh, it doesn't sound right now. It's like that. Every
just
time
a jumble of sounds.
Like. Yeah, like I hear him saying, I'm like, oh, this is not right. It's weird.
And we are the owners and founders of the Swingers Club here in Sydney, Australia.
Yep. We done did good.
Yeah.
Smooth intro.
They get better and better every week.
This is a guest intro, a guest interview podcast.
Mm-hmm.
As you've already heard, we have a lovely person with us. His name is Jay. He is the manager of the venue. So welcome to the show, Jay.
Thank you very much. Funny using a pseudonym. I'm definitely going to just like name drop myself.
You'll be like Amber.
Just like go from there. But yeah.
Oh, that'd
thank
be
you.
Fine.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
People who've been at least will know who you are.
100%.
Our little regulars.
Yeah.
Or non-regular. Wait, what did we discuss a regular was? Once a month?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, we had a whole pod about like talking about what regular actually meant. Yeah, so our regulars and our semi-regulars will definitely know who you are.
Yeah.
We've got some hardcore regulars too, I feel like. Some of every other week you see their face.
We have one regular couple who literally come and I counted for last year once every fortnight. You know who they are.
Yeah, I know who they are.
Yeah.
I think I know who you're talking about.
You would know who they are too because they always come and she's beautiful blonde and identifying them is fine. Beautiful and blonde and he's like got a shaved head. But they always come together and they always come every like four. But sometimes it's like two and then they don't see them for 2 weeks. But it's basically once a fortnight.
Yeah, right. Averages out.
And another couple that he's really, really tall and she's beautiful and brunette.
Yep.
And they
that's
are
what I was
also,
thinking of originally.
Oh, yeah. So them. But they always turn up as a really like halfway through the night. They're like a 10:30 turn up. But they always buy a ticket. Always have a ticket preparation ready. But they always turn up late.
Mm.
But they come in, they bang it out, and they go. They're great.
I'm not sure I know who you're talking about, but you have to tell me later.
I will.
They've whittled it down to a fine art.
Yeah, they have. But they come in, and they're always so happy, and they know what they do. They have their phones ready. Sometimes it still has the numbers on it. And they walk in, and then they're straight to the bar, and they're straight upstairs.
Yeah, right.
And then you don't see them for like an hour.
I love when a phone comes in with like stickers from previous days, which haven't taken off, like a callus is just like building up.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes I try, like if I'm at the door, watch one of the girls, I try and get like them to give them the same number. So they're like, oh, you got number 23 again.
Nah, fuck that. It has to be, you have to earn the same number again. It has to be fortune.
Oh, sometimes
I've spoken about this before. I've only had it once where it's an actual... It was like locker four came in and they go, oh, we had locker four last time. I was like, yay. There should be a little prize, like a little, I mean, you get an OSS key ring for free.
Oh, we've got it. We've got some more of those key rings coming.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah, another couple hundred of those key rings. So get your key ring orders in, everyone.
Yeah, but they kind of burn out the door really quickly.
Yeah. If you need to like identify your keys in the bowl.
At least it you know which thing, ones are true swingers. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a bottle of gin you can get that's got a huge, bold number 24 on it. And a couple brought that in. They were given locker 24. And
oh, fuck
like,
off.
Great. Perfect. On the shelf.
Did we still have to label the number? Like, because people wouldn't be looking for...
Just in case.
They're looking for the little masking tape sticker, not like on the actual label. You just wouldn't see it. It wouldn't register that there's number 24.
Mm.
I know I would do that. I'd look right at it and they'd be going, it's right in front of you. And I'm like... No, it's not.
I normally just ask them what they're drinking, even though they're like, I'm locker 23. I'm like, what are you drinking? Because I can't see the numbers. Like, I'm wearing my glasses today because I am that blind, like close and far.
In that instance, so everyone listening at home, if you haven't been to the club before, or even people who are regulars, it's like, it is helpful if you say, hey, I'm locker 24, it's a gin or it's a red wine or it's a...
It helps
beer.
If it's like
because then
the
we know where to
the,
look exactly yeah. because there's about three different places that we can look and it just speeds it up. It's not a big deal if you don't. It's kind of like, well, it could only be in one of three spots. But if you want it to be fast, it's to say, hey, it's a gin. Right, I need to go to the spirit shelf rather than look in the fridge.
Most people do
it. Hot tip for young players.
Most people are pretty good, to be honest.
Yeah. And be decisive. You know, some people are just like, I'll have a, that looks good. And you're like, what's like, show me your key right now.
You're like, what the fuck?
Are they trying to decide, like looking at everyone else's drinks? That gin Shiraz really wet my whistle.
If anyone touches my gin Shiraz, they are dead.
But it's just like, you have scotch. You're just not having gin Shiraz.
It's all right. I don't think anyone likes gin Shiraz. I think that's why it's there.
What? Heaps of people like gin Shiraz.
I like gin Shiraz.
Well, I don't mind it. Of all gins, that would be the one I'd prefer.
Really?
Yeah, I don't like gin all that much.
Oh. Okay.
I wouldn't go out and order it.
See, when I bought it, like, because I bought the bottle to put at the bar, every single person that wasn't, I didn't ask you, so that makes sense. But everyone else is like, oh my God, that's so gross. How could you? And I was like, it's like the two best spirits and wine together. Like, okay, well, anyway, you guys are welcome to it. Yeah, right. That's fine.
Appreciators only.
Yeah. People who actually want to drink it.
So Jay, we wanted to obviously introduce you to the audience. We also, but we'd love to, like, you know, it's nice to know a little bit of the background of the people who you know, make the club what it is. So, what's been your story or your journey so far, like from before you worked as a manager and before you were a staff member? From, I mean, do you, swinging or anything like that? What's been the go there for you?
I've been in a relationship for a really long time. It's going to be 13 years in July this year.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
It's longer than Lawrence and I.
Yeah, people are often pretty surprised to hear that.
13 years.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Lucky
so
13.
Thank you. Yeah, this year's a year. It's like on a plane, like, cut, no aisle.
Is there no hotels that don't have 13?
I think so too, probably.
Yeah, sometimes they don't have the 13th floor.
Yeah. There you go. So you can't go to a hotel. Yeah.
But we digress. Sorry, Jay.
Scrub this year off the record. No, it's been a long time, but I don't think that means that's why we're here or anything like that. Because from early on, it felt different. Like, we weren't particularly jealous. We kind of enjoyed being together, but also, I don't know, just looking at other people, kind of being a little bit free in that dimension. Mm. And then I don't know what sparked this, but yeah, my partner, she was just like, hey, I'm going to get on Tinder and meet some girls, which she did. And damn, I was like, I want in on that. And managed to kind of weasel my way into a situation or two like that. And that kind of, I guess that was our first experience in that kind of domain as a couple. We got together when we were 20, about to turn 20. Now. Just turned 32, so.
Yay, happy birthday.
Thank you. Yeah, and I don't know how far into our relationship that was, but it was not right at the beginning, but it was, you know, maybe halfway through.
Cool.
Oh, right, okay. So, yeah, you've probably been doing this as long as you haven't been doing this.
Sort of, yeah. Out there? Yeah, somewhat. Yeah. And then we kind of found ourselves, like we found ourselves kind of in situations that resemble a little bit what you see at the club,
but not at the club.
At the club.
Wow. So these are like private get-togethers, or you'd be like, these are friends. You're like
friends.
How are you orchestrating this?
Not like a super repeated thing, but it was just it would just be a situation that would like unfold.
Yeah.
And it would be, you know, like a group play kind of situation.
Mm.
Not that happened a whole bunch, but it was just part of our
journey.
Yeah, things.
Just part of the wheelhouse of things that you do together. Sometimes we go to the movies, go to a restaurant, cocktail bar.
Cocks
and tails.
Cocks and tails.
Sometimes an orgy, you know, whatever.
Sometimes an orgy.
Depends on our mood. That's kind of the best way to be, I think. I feel like that's probably, if you're like, we have to do this every Saturday night, it's kind of like, ugh.
But not to overplay it, like it wasn't something that happened like many times. It was kind of like there was definitely a one-off one I can remember, and there was just like kind of bits and pieces in my memory of stuff like that. And then we heard about the club, I think it was originally through that Channel 7 thing with that young reporter and
he was funny.
What was his name again?
Khan. No. I don't know. It was some weird name.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, he was super lovely, super.
You can still watch this. It's
super, not naive.
It's linked on our website if you do want to watch it, the Channel 7 thing that they did. They did a really good job.
I'll look it up while we're here.
It was actually great. Yeah. It was really funny.
Because they made it fun, kept it light.
But also got showed, a really good walkthrough showed of the club.
Showed the sexiness. Yeah, they didn't, it didn't, it wasn't, sometimes like we've done media stuff and it goes, what about like when, you know, it all shit hits the fan. It's like, oh my God, okay, yeah, we get it. Like shit can hit the fan, but like, you know, a lot of it can be fun as well.
Yeah, and also I think because he was younger too, it helped make it not so like, oh, it's just for like your old school keys in the bowl people.
Yeah, and I think it kind of played service to that. It's like
suburban swingers.
Yeah, and it's like, how could you not be curious about that? You know what I mean?
We didn't write his name on it, but anyway. Suburban Swingers. You can watch it on YouTube for Channel 7.
Yeah, no, recommend it. Really funny.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that, and I remember you guys were on You Can't Ask That.
Yeah. Yep. That was fun. I liked that. Was actually really well done.
I should go back and watch that episode.
It was super like fun to like do it as well because they'd ask you a question. You just had to give the answer. Like it wasn't a think about it. You're like, okay.
Well, we got like we had a much longer format to answer as well. They didn't say it wasn't like when we've done live TV. It's like you've got to give a 30-second
response,
really succinct, eloquent, all-encompassing answer. Whereas You Can't Ask That, they said, look, obviously we're going to edit it down. So edit it. Speak how you think that. Try and get everything out or whatever it was, which was much – allowed us to be a bit more long form, even though, like, they didn't present the conversation that way. But, you know, I think the most – the best part of – the best media thing we do is this, right, is just, like, we get to control the conversation and have the conversation at length and go down and, like, and we can explore all the things without having to say, oh, I didn't – I forgot to say this or this and that. And if we do forget to say something, it's just like, come back in. Oh, by the way, say your drink with your locker number.
Yeah, so I think it was that, and definitely the podcast too. Starting to listen to that, it really like I don't know, humanized it. Like this whole world for me prior to ever walking through the club was very much a like, you know, I had a whole bag of assumptions about what it was like, the sort of people that would be here, the sort of maybe attitudes and like things that would maybe feel out of my control that I would be afraid of coming in.
Yeah, what were they for you?
I think maybe that it would be, I'd be walking into a space full of people who were comfortable with things that I didn't know if I was yet. Like say, you know, it's like, hey, all right, we're all swapping partners immediately and that's what we're all here to do.
Mm.
I was like, I don't know if I want that kind of thing. So, yeah.
Yeah, kind of like we all sit down and we play like musical chairs and everyone's partner except one takes a step to the left and it's like, now you're with them. And it's just like, yeah.
I have always dreamt, and this is like maybe just a weird dream, but there's like girls on, you know, those things that spin. I know they're a torture machine, but they spin around like those merry-go-round things, but you have like four girls and it's like they go next and then you guys start fucking.
Like a lazy Susan at a Chinese restaurant or Wheel of Fortune.
Like, but it's like four girls and then the four guys and they're like swap. I don't know why, but it's been in my dream before. Look, and I was like, that seems like that.
Having fantasies like that is totally okay as long as everyone in that space is like agreed to and like they're okay with every other person.
No, like it's like everyone's happy, but it's like, it's just the way it was done. It was like, and swap, and then swap. And you're like, I just turned into like a whole like routine.
Can I buy a vowel, please? I'd like an oh. Sorry. Yeah, continue. Go. Sorry, I totally hijacked your conversation. Go.
But something like that. I really thought that's what this whole world was from the outside looking in.
Yeah.
Or not even looking in, looking at the wall on the outside of the building.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And then came in for the first time. We came to the Mardi Gras event in 2022.
So in Darlinghurst?
No,
it was here.
It was here.
Was it?
Yeah.
Do we have one in Darlinghurst still? No,
we closed Darlinghurst in 2020.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Yeah. Definitely here. I think we'd been toying with it for a little while and then we were just like, why don't we just buy a ticket and go and see?
Yeah.
I think we'd become comfortable enough. Like, you know, we'd heard enough stories from the podcast. It seemed cool. We came and I walked in and the person who took us on the tour who still works here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I was like, I know your face. Where is it from? Like super, like familiar enough that I was like, I actually know you, but I just couldn't remember where from. And she took us on our tour of the venue and that was great and kind of got to see it. We got there pretty early, so it was quite comfortable.
Nice.
Wait, so you knew this person as in now you remember them from the tour or you when you first met them for the tour, you go, I know you from somewhere else.
Yeah, the face was like familiar enough that I was like, it's not just from in passing. It's like, I properly know you, but I just couldn't remember where from. It turned out it was from studying massage therapy together.
I have no idea who this person is.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to tell us after this.
Yeah, I'll tell you afterwards.
I'm like, I can't even think. I was like, oh, maybe he'll give another clue. And I'll be like, yep. Yeah. Damn it.
Yeah, and I'd actually...
Because I've had really sore shoulders for the last couple of weeks. I'm really annoyed that there's now I know at least two staff members who are trained in massage therapy and have not offered me a massage.
You know what you need to do is you need to come to a threshold event and Frank does free massages all night long. I've literally sometimes come to a threshold and I'm like,
Frank. Not according to Joseph. He was watching the soccer the other night.
Well, obviously he wasn't busy with the massages.
Yeah. Okay.
We should come back to that story. Cause that
yeah,
was
yeah,
actually,
that's a good, okay, we'll come back.
Oh my God. Okay. So your first time, did you guys end up playing with anyone? Was there any experiences? I'm assuming you remember your first time.
Yeah, very well. We were downstairs. Like my partner does a lot of pole dancing. So we're kind of comfortable around there. And there was another couple that was just a good vibe. They seemed really comfortable. So we kind of felt like we were following them around a little bit. And they were about our age. And, you know, they were dancing on the pole. They were just so comfortable there. They were like, wow, okay, cool. Like, you can kind of settle in here. Like, yeah. Who would have thought? So, yeah, we hung out with them. And then it kind of came to a point a bit later in the night. They were like, why don't we go upstairs? And we're like, shit, all right. This is it. I don't know what we're in for, but this is it. So... we followed them up and it was them and it was another couple that they seemed to know pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
We all went into a private room, so it was pretty packed. And they were great. They were actually a first kind of experience in this setting that I'm really happy that we had because it was so – they were so comfortable that they led the way in a way that we were not pressured and we were not, like, feeling uncomfortable. Like, they were very – good with their communication and checking in and kind of letting us feel like we really had a say in what was going on. And
yeah, nice.
Mm.
And we didn't actually have sex. Like we did a lot of other just fun stuff, like everyone, you know, taking turns, like massaging or like squishing someone, like lying in the middle or that kind of stuff. They had a few kink, like they had a few floggers and stuff that we were kind of using on people.
Cool.
And all of that. And that was really fun. And yeah, great experience. It was actually funny because the guy who was not the male in that couple, but the other couple, he was the polar opposite. He was just couldn't get his towel off quick enough. He's like, when are we going to fuck? And like all this stuff. And it was a real funny kind of like opposition kind of in the room. But it wasn't an issue. Like it didn't feel.
Everyone had their role played well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm. That sounds good. It sounds like you got a bit of everything. Like you got a bit of BDSM, you got a bit of like sensual massage, a bit of fucking. It's like a whole, like if you ever come like for a first time, it's like, what would you like? You're like, I don't know. And then they give you a taste of every cookie. Like he's just got every single cookie and he's been like, I'll just take them all.
It can be important though that I've said this a while ago. I don't know if I've spoken about this recently, but like having the couple that sires you kind of like a, you know, in vampire mythology, it's just like if the vampire that makes you, you take on their traits. You know, it's sort of like you have that in you. So like if your first couple experiences with a couple that really emphasize communication and consent and like, you know, doing things that's only doing things that only feel right at the time, you kind of like you take that on with you. Sometimes I feel like if you're with a couple, you know, this is just speaking anecdotally, that pressures you or this and that, and it's kind of like you kind of feel like maybe is this the way we're supposed to be? I don't know. And yeah,
I want to know who the fuck sired me. Was it you?
Yes.
Well then.
Don't you see the resemblance?
I know, I'm growing a beard. Could you tell?
A little bit different because we were in a relationship and then we were, unquote, the siring couple because I was the only experienced one out of
That's right. This is L and J. Yeah. Okay. This makes sense. Because I was like, all of us were really new. I was like, who was the sire? Like, I don't.
Yeah. I was the one sense. Who was, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Who's Lord Lawrence? Dracula.
Yeah, he was like a puppet, what is it? Puppet. I'm a puppet. I'm the puppet, you're the puppeteer. He was like a puppeteer for the three of us. He's like, bloop, bloop, bloop.
Yeah, and that's not to say that you can't learn or unlearn things as you go along, but, you know, sometimes you might take on things that's just kind of a little bit, oh, either that's really great or less than ideal. I remember the couple that we first played with. They've actually been to the club here since then. I've seen them a couple of times.
You played with them, me? Or us?
Me. You. In my previous relationship before you.
Ooh. Mm. Oh, wait. Are they the couple that we met at the drinks? Were they at a mingle and then they came back? Was that another couple?
I can't remember every event.
There's too many couples.
Yeah, I know.
There's too many people to remember.
The couple, yeah. So it's good like you had an experience that obviously, yeah, made you feel like, oh, this is how it can be. It's the all the positives, right? And it's kind of like this is like the ideal situation of what a couple experience can look like, rather than like, ooh, you're clutching your knees in a cold shower. Like, what did I do?
Why does it have to be a cold shower? Why can't it be a nice warm shower?
I don't know. You know, it's just the it's just the trope. It's just the Hollywood trope. Yeah.
So then, after your first experience, where did you guys progress onwards, or is it still pretty much the same like that?
No, I'm trying to remember what happened immediately after that. I think we were just in there for ages. Actually, I remember because we were doing this thing. Someone would lie in the middle, and we would all, like, as a collective group, just like slap their body, like their whole body. And it was quite loud, actually. And probably not an issue to name him for doing this too, but I remember Trip came into the door and he was just like, sorry, we've had some complaints about the amount of noise that you guys are making. And we were laughing. We were like, you definitely just wanted to stick your head through the door and see what was happening in here. But
you're like, sure, sure.
But yeah, no, that was, it was just fun. It felt like we were kind of, I felt quite welcomed from the beginning in that kind of way. And I remember because when I first came, Trip was the manager and he was always a very welcoming presence here. And so were all the other staff. And I think that's what, like, that's what ended up me applying for the job was, like, I came back the next time. We had the catch-up chat with the person who I knew already. And she was like, actually, it's a great, you know, place to work. And I was like, yeah, you're a lovely, insane person. I was like, it must be. Yeah, so...
Who is this? It's killing me.
Yeah, so that was when I then applied after that, and I remember I sent this...
Okay, you have to... Yeah, keep going. Yeah, keep going. Write it down so Jess can know.
No, I'm just... Oh, yep. You could just write the first letter, and I know. Yep. Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. And I work with her all the time, and I've... Oh, my God. Interesting. But, next time I see her, I'll be like, those hands, I need a bit of a massage. So you applied. Oh, my God, do you remember his application? I don't.
I looked at it actually only a couple of days ago. Oh, just by chance, because I was looking for your email address to forward on to someone.
I remember your email for some reason. I don't know why. I think it's just the way it looks like the letters all go like this. It's like a pattern.
And because obviously there's only been a handful of emails that you've sent directly to the club. It's kind of like, well, there's the application. I just said, sometimes I just like click. It's just like, what did they say?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Bit of like the single male application form.
Yeah.
Yeah, a bit like that, isn't it? Yeah.
That's how I felt with it actually, because I was like, what business does a guy have applying here? Like, they're going to think I'm like some terrible pervert coming in from the street who just wants to watch people have sex. And
you're like, I want to bring my binoculars because I can't watch from outside anymore. It's too hard.
Yeah.
But I read this absurd application that if you read it vertically, it said, hire me.
Yeah.
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 I was going to say, it was something creative.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. No, yeah, it was good. Obviously, you're here, so it had to have been good.
But no, we definitely need like a mix of staff, genders in the role, because it's like, you know, if it was just entirely female and entirely male team, it, you know, just.
But genders and personalities, like every male we've hired is a different personality as well as the females.
You mean you see people individuals and no one's the same?
Yep.
Great.
Yep. No one's got a sex. Okay. Everyone's the same sex.
So going from patron to staff member, how was that?
Good. I'd only attended as a patron maybe 3-4 times before becoming a staff member.
Yeah. It was always with your partner as well?
Yeah, always. I don't think we played much after that first one. We just didn't meet people that we were like, because we never wanted to just come in and have sex for the sake of it. We wanted to... We really realized from our first experience how much we valued that connection and that, just whatever that was beyond the physicality of it.
Yeah. That's fair. Why, I mean, exactly to the point we were just speaking about, it's just like it's important to have that. So now you have this really high up there experience that you can just like, let's make that. We're only doing things if it's that kind of connection rather than just, mindlessly dropping trowel and just putting it in some side something and just... Anyway.
Yeah, effectively. Then I started working and I was so intimidated, I remember.
God, was Trip also your manager at the time? Was he training
you? Yeah, it was. It was 2022 when you started, right?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah,
well, that would have been good because you would have met him on the first time and been like, all right, I want to be like you. Like, train me, teach me.
Yeah.
How was definitely. Your first shift?
Good. It was masquerade, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, cool.
So I put this mask on, no peripheral vision, trying to handle a new environment with, through a little window.
Oh, God.
But no, lots of fun. And I remember starting on the bar and just seeing there was so much to learn, I remember. And that was pre-playroom attendant duties being part of the job role.
Yeah, you've probably seen quite an evolution of like of how we do things here. So, yeah, love to get your perspectives on that as well. I guess we, you know, we have staff training nights every now and then, and like, and I think I commented this on the most recent staff training. It's just, on the surface, it's like really easy job. There's just pour drinks and say hello to people, but then like you start getting into it, and you're like
the nitty gritty stuff.
There's actually quite a bit to do, and responsibility placed on each staff member. That's not just, you know, an idle bartender at your regular.
Well, there's so much observing that you have to do as well, and then relaying the observations that you have, especially if you're like a playroom attendant, which is like a new role, like you said. There's so many things you have to be doing on top of your already standard picking up cups or checking the sheets sort of role.
Yeah.
Only because we've evolved as a business, and like with all of us staff and you guys help, you've given us these opportunities or these ideas to expand the business and make it better.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah, so going from, your new staff member, you're feeling quite intimidated. And like when would like anything notable in those periods for you?
It was a lot of fun. It was so novel. I still have a good memory with a staff member who still works with us, who this was in like my first handful of shifts, you know, going up. And I remember that period of time there was a lot of regulars. I remember seeing my first few shifts that were very like, I don't know, they're very comfortable, very, not rowdy, but like rowdy in a good way. and I remember like, you know, going upstairs, and it was like the bar was one thing, and then it was like, all right, we need you to go upstairs and in the play spaces, collect cups, like all that stuff. And that was like another step like beyond the comfort zone as it kept expanding. And I remember, you know, going into this cleaning up this private room, and next door there was like some really loud play going on, and we're just like picking up cups and just hearing, just like, suck my balls. we still laugh about that. We just like kind of locked eyes, and we're just like trying not to like be heard like laughing through the open ceiling.
Oh, you were with another staff member and
like trying to just get our job done and get out of there,
and then have a cackle.
Yeah.
But the fact that you can't laugh, or it's very inappropriate to laugh, it makes it even more funny. It's like the irony of the situation. Like, you probably wouldn't laugh as hard if you were just, you're free to laugh.
Yeah, absolutely.
Poor guy.
He just wanted his balls sucked.
Just stuff like that. There was a story, I guess, that like has come slightly later in the journey, but like just speaks to some of that kind of fun. Is my early days of me working, like my partner was nervous about me coming and working, because it was like, you know, we're pretty new to this scene, and it's like, am I going to be being like propositioned a fair bit when I'm working, which does happen a little bit more. Like, there is a bit of that fantasy of like the worker.
Oh, everyone wants to fuck the bartenders. It's such a big thing. Everyone's like, oh, do you work at OSS? Can I fuck you while you work? You're like,
how often does it happen for you?
Fair bit.
Yeah.
He's like, not the
not that I. All the time.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they're talking about like in your partner's fear of that happening.
Yeah,
I mean, you can't control, the rational mind is like, you can't control people hitting on you. It's just about how you would respond, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I guess still in those days, you know, figuring out our boundaries a bit more. So we were a bit less like certain about what was cool, what wasn't, where we were at, all that stuff at that point. So she, I remember her being a bit nervous about that, but then slowly becoming more comfortable and, you know, being able to sleep at night when I was here.
She's like, I'm asleep now.
Yeah, and knowing that it's just like, it's work. It's like, it's not like an excuse to go and out and get your tackle box out. And
Your
tackle
box. Put a worm on the hook. And
my God. Wow.
Yeah, and then I remember she started then coming to the club occasionally. So while I was working, she would attend and socialise and that kind of thing. That was kind of like another step. And
yeah, because I remember you're like, can my partner come tonight by herself? And I was like, oh, of course, that sounds so fun. She just wander around. But she seemed, okay, you guys both seem very confident, even though you have just told me you were like nervous and like new. Mm. But you guys always seem so confident, like even at the beginning when you guys were coming like separate, or like when you were working and she's coming separate, she still had such confidence coming in. Like I couldn't tell that she was nervous. Could you? I couldn't tell they were nervous.
No, but I mean,
you hide it very well.
Yeah, it's just, you know, years of suppression.
Just holding it back.
But I suppose like also just being, I don't know, sure about what you want, or knowing what you don't want as well as can be quite, it's just as helpful as knowing what you want. It's just like, if you know, like, it probably works both ways, right? It's just like, I definitely don't want to do this, this, and this. Mm. So I'll just, if that gets put to me or whatever, and I'm find myself in that situation, I can walk off. And it's just like, that gives you that confidence as well. I don't know.
Mm.
And it's funny to think back, because we've come leaps and bounds since then in terms of our like understanding of each other and ourselves and stuff. But even back then, I think we were pretty good in terms of our communication, and there was never a sense of like, you know, one of us maybe wanting to be there more than the other or something like that. So it felt like a pretty healthy dynamic, even though in reflection, like we didn't know anywhere near as much as we know now about ourselves. And
yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It brings out higher learning.
It does. Yeah.
Tertiary education.
Yeah. And so, okay, so you've been you were a staff member for, what, nearly 18 months?
Yeah.
Well, 15?
It was around mid 2000. Yep.
About 15, right? Yeah, 15 months.
Yeah, okay.
Working off, like, his dates that he just gave us.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. Before 3 months ago becoming...
Yeah.
The manager, which is...
Yep.
Yeah. And yay! How's
that been?
Yeah, how's the change been since you've gone from staff member to manager?
It's been good. I remember at the beginning I was just like, is the club just going to spontaneously combust? Like, it's all different, but it started to feel the same again.
Okay,
it was. It was just, you know, that initial like, got to make sure I'm doing, you know, everything that I want.
You just need a settle period.
Yeah,
and totally. Also helps that like all the staff know you. So you're transitioning into a role that they all know you as Jay, which is probably helpful as well, right? Because they might even be able to like, oh, can you do this? Because the old manager did this, or like, this is what you need to do. Like sometimes I feel like they help out.
Yeah.
Or they're like, they do stuff already out of habit. Like I know some of the older staff will do kind of some managerial stuff because they're like, they'll turn on all the lights. They set up all the stuff, which is what you do. But They've got in the habit of doing that before anyway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think they do it out of just habit, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is great. It's extra help.
Yeah, no, I love that.
So you hear obviously a lot more, you see a lot more. Anything notable going on since then?
A story I was going to bring up that was back kind of at that phase when my partner started attending while I was working was that she met two girls one night and they kind of became friends, and there was another staff member who also currently works for us who was playing with one of these girls that she'd met, and they were kind of following each other around, and it was a fun night. It was one of those really social ones where you feel very amongst it. Like I think I was on playroom duty that night before I was managing, and yeah, like the up in the, you know where that like the therapy couch is upstairs?
Yeah.
The therapy couch.
Yeah.
So I was changing the bed in the private room just off there.
Yeah.
And the staff member playing with her, they were doing doggy on that couch with quite a crowd, including Natasha and the friend of hers.
Yeah, right.
Literally all just standing around like arms crossed, just like nodding.
Wait, was the other staff member working this night, or were they just here on a social night?
No, attending. And very much.
We have a surprisingly a large amount of our staff attend.
Yeah.
Like on their off nights.
Okay.
Which, like, I didn't really notice until I sort of sat back and looked at it. I'm like, oh, are you working tonight? They're like, no, it's my night off. And I'm like, oh, okay, hi.
Especially some of the newer staff, which is nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you, yeah, I mean, I wanted to ask about that. Like, for us, sometimes it can be a good thing when, you know, you've come as a patron. So you know what it feels like to be in here as a patron.
Yep.
But then sometimes it's like we get patrons who ask and it's just like, we don't think you'd be the right fit. It's just like, so how was that feeling of like, you know, what did it give you in terms of insight for like how to, I guess, give customer service?
Definitely helped. I mean, like having the customer experience and then giving the customer experience. Trying to think. Let's edit this bit.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like that's quite a big fucking question.
That's all right. You can have pauses.
Maybe just like, has it made your job easier customer base wise? Like, do you reckon you can relate to customers and staff a lot easier now that you've done both sides? Now that you've been on both the dark and the light side?
I know what you mean. It's like a yes and a no, because in a way the customer experience doesn't have, like, it can have a lot to do with your interactions with the venue and with the staff.
Mm.
But so much of it is to do with your interactions with the other patrons.
Mm.
That in a way it's like they're kind of separate. Like, unless you need something, or unless you're like, you have a particularly good conversation with staff, or you have some good insight, or you need support on the night with something.
Yeah.
It's very much yourself and where you sit in the community or in the social setting or
in
your own relationship, really.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah. That can be the tough part about how our gig is, right? It's like the customer experience can rely and does rely so heavily on the other customers being nice to each other. You know, if something goes a little bit sour or pear-shaped, it's kind of like, then it's our fault. So we've got to like work it out and try and smooth it over.
Do you find it, now that you have been working for us for almost 2 years, do you find it easier coming to the club with your partner? Like, is it a bit more of a like, oh, I'm coming to my second home and just making yourself at home somewhat?
Yeah, it wasn't at the beginning. I really found they were separate skills.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, I'm so comfortable behind the bar now. Yeah, like, I can't wait to come on the weekend, you know, I'll just like cruise in, super chill, and then I'd get to the door and it would feel like day one again. I'd be like nervous and
fair enough.
Which is fun though. I think that nervousness is enjoyable because it's fun to feel a bit, that thrill is really nice.
It's good to have a bit of nervous energy.
Yeah, it is nice having that because otherwise it becomes mundane, right?
Mm.
How have you felt like in the over the last couple of years, like the transition, like the addition of like some other roles, like the playroom attendant? We've got now like a permanent receptionist. How has that sort of, do you feel that's impacted the flow of things or your experience as a staff member?
As a staff member, I remember when it came in and I remember being rostered on it for the first time and being like, oh shit, like I've got to interrupt play potentially. I've got to be like the, you know, police up there a bit. That was like another learning curve, which I'm actually really grateful for. Like, I think that can be very challenging. And I know some of the staff find it challenging, and like it was kind of reiterated to me by my partner the other day, where she was talking about at her work, talking to some of her patrons and being like, telling them about what I do and some of what I've done as a playroom attendant, you know, stepping into scenes where things were not just like, you know, stepping in where you have to. If you feel like someone's not looking comfortable, like going into like a live orgy and having a conversation with someone, or if there's a person there who's not aware of the etiquette, like filling them in that setting, and they were like, you know, the patrons she's explaining this to are kind of shocked. They're like, I couldn't do that. And I forget that it's like, that's not every day. Like, that's not something everyone's comfortable with.
Yeah. Yeah. It can
I
be.
I forget that.
It can be really uncomfortable to go and interrupt people having sex, but.
Especially while like you can hear moaning and feel all the energy coming off them, right?
Yeah,
exactly. See, I just like roster people and I'm like, that'll be great here, forgetting that you could actually be nervous doing this. I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. That's interesting. And so that was helpful for me to remember now managing is like, because I've seen that with some of the staff. It was just like, I detect some of that nervous energy sometimes. I'm like, oh yeah, I remember when I was newer in this role, how I felt. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, it's good to get that exposure, but you need that safety as well of and like checking in. And I remember kind of coming up through that role and liaising with the manager a fair bit and like building that skill. But at the beginning, it was definitely out of the comfort zone.
Mm. Yeah. It's probably like been one of the most, I say like, it's now like we can't imagine the club without it,
yep.
without having that playing room attendant there. It's like, how do we get along so far? How do we come so far without having someone like doing this role? Because it's so.
Mm. Also, I think the club itself is bigger than like the role in Darlinghurst wouldn't have suited. Yeah. But now that we've been here, that though 2 years that we didn't have it,
yeah.
has kind of.
Because you know how it started, where the idea came from?
No.
It came from 3Cs. Mm. So because we would hold 3Cs, the gangbang afternoons, and the energy in the club is so different when it's like so many, it's so heavily weighted towards males and male energy, that we needed to be able to sort of monitor the play a lot more closely, like just from feedback. So as we kept running them here and like going, what can we... I think every 3Cs has not been the same in terms of the way we manage it. It's there's always something a little bit more differently. Maybe the last two have been somewhat the same, but essentially we needed to obviously have someone who is going to be the sober eyes and ears of, you know, a participant who might otherwise be surrounded by other people consensually, but needing to also to feel safe that someone wasn't just going to turn up while their back was turned literally and then just sort of, you know, weasel their way in there. And then, you know, it worked so well. We're just like going, I think it was just kind of like it started on busier nights. We used to go, let's have a playroom attendant on a newbie night or a birthday party.
Yeah, we started on the newbie nights because we were like the newbies might need a bit more support because they don't know sometimes when to say no. And like obviously Lawrence will give the newbie talk, but then – just because you've told them to do something doesn't mean they're always like going to remember to do it.
Or they even turned up for the talk or whatever, whatever the situation may be. Yeah, so that's where that came from. And then it just became a full-time thing to just like, right, we should probably just have this all the time. Mm. And we were also having issues of like, you know, feedback was coming. It's just like, oh, the beds were never made or changed. And it's just like, because if you've got staff who are just sort of intermittently going up, they're not always there. They don't see everything and it's hard to like catch something, right? And some people, as you would know, like especially now in the manager role, and like how many people don't actually say anything to you when something is wrong?
Yep.
And only to hear about it later or just...
Or as they're leaving.
Or as they're leaving, just by picking it up just through their body language. And it can be like, I can help you, you just got to tell me. But, you know, we can't just rely on that so much. So, yeah
some
that's
people get lost up in the moment.
That's where the role came from. Yeah.
No, I think it's a great role, actually. It's you are right. Like, thinking back, not having it seems insane.
Yeah.
It seems odd not to, but also, I've never seen it. No, but I've never seen it in any other club in Australia. Like, there's no – not even in clubs in – oh, no, wait. That's a lie. I was going to say the club in Rotterdam? Fun for Two?
Yeah.
They had playroom attendants.
Did they? I don't remember.
Yeah, because I remember we went into the pitch black dark room, remember? And there was like a do you remember that pitch black?
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, and I remember.
I didn't know there was a staff member in there.
Yeah, there was a staff member standing nearby because I was like, why are they just standing there?
Have they got night vision goggles on?
No, it was near the entrance and then also where the little huts were.
Yeah.
There was one there.
Oh, okay.
I just remember seeing them because I was like, well, maybe it's just me. I was looking out for staff members. But yeah, I was also looking around because there was a lot of people in this place and I'm like, We weren't new, but it was like there was a lot, like triple the amount that we have here.
Wow.
So I'm walking around being like, oh, who's who? Anyway.
This place was huge though.
It was a castle almost.
They had a full-size swimming pool outside. They had
a massage sauna section. Like a
12-person inbuilt spa thing. Like it was massive. Wow. Like you could get lost
in it. You could even walk, like you climbed up these buffet stairs dinner. To get up to the attic, which it was all padded and you climb over the attic, like the roof, to go to the other side. But it was like the full size of like this club. It was massive.
Mm.
Awesome.
Anyway, yeah. So they had it. But they're the only other place that I've seen have playroom or staff visible staff.
Yeah.
Which is pretty interesting. Mm.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Go us. I got to do the clapping. Where's the clapping thing on there?
Shush. No more clapping thing. Yeah, so we're just like, sorry, I'm just like wow. Completely like, I was just like.
The clapping distract you?
It did distract me. Mm. Yeah, like what's, the fun stories we're talking about, that we were going to come back to something about.
Oh, yeah. Any fun stories that come to mind?
I guess the end of that story of when my partner was attending and they were watching the staff member with the girl on the therapy couch was, you know, the conclusion of that scene was a group applause.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, they actually needed the group clap.
Yay! Yellow. Okay, I remember this.
Yeah. And, moments like that, like, are some of the funniest. I love that stuff. And, like, but no, definitely, there's definitely a few stories. I remember one, I think this was from Pendulum, of a particular gentleman making, you know, it's usually the women in the club that you hear the noises from more than the gents. But
I think I might know who you're talking about.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
Is this a bird noise?
No, it's just really loud when he orgasms.
Yeah, and
his name is The Gentleman, and he features prominently on By the By podcast.
Oh, yeah, he's quite loud. But you continue your story.
Yeah, no, hey, that's been great. And, like, I remember I've been playroom attendant and witnessed that and just been like, respect, goddamn. Like,
I don't think I've actually heard it. Can we get a demo of how loud this is?
Oh, wow.
Maybe lean back from the mic.
Yeah, no, this is like, I'm trying to think of the, it goes on though, but it builds. And it's
okay, so.
You've got a really big mouth. I always forget that till you open it. It's like a big, the what is it? The what's a dog? The husky, where it's like, that's Lawrence.
Yeah, so.
And I want to hear it. I think maybe I should hang around.
No, I think you just need to go and listen to By the By podcast.
I think they've done it. You can't, there's nothing that replicates actually being there, right?
No, and it goes for a good like minute to 2 minutes.
That's a lot of energy that he's expelling.
Yeah.
Not only from his penis, but also from his voice. It's like,
yeah, no, that's just great, you know. And I think the whole room kind of turns and soaks it in.
Has the being hit on frequency increased since you've been manager?
Yeah, a little bit. There's been.
Oh,
more,
really?
Yeah.
Do you reckon it's because you're here more often or because you're the manager?
It's been a bit of both. There definitely has been a few. It's like, oh, you're the manager now, and it's like. Yes, I know where this is going, but continue.
flatter me more.
How do you deal with that? Like, as what do you say to customers, especially when? Okay, so this is a common question I get asked, and I see if you get the same sort of thing. It's like, so just asking, like, do staff members play? Are they allowed to play? Mm. And I mean, I am being presumptive, but it's just like, are you asking me? Say, or are you asking generally? Because sometimes I've been asked once that I can recall where they weren't actually asking about me. They were saying, can you give them permission to come and play?
Yeah, no, I definitely have that. Depends. Sometimes I do get a bit of a kick out of like giving them the answer that will like stir them up the most.
Right. Please tell me the answer.
What God, is this it? Is such a Lawrence thing.
Yeah.
It would be like, oh, so do staff get to play on the shift? And you're like, we do actually, yeah. And they're like, oh, really? And you're just like, yeah, definitely. And like, you know, give them a story about like what I have seen or like that. And they're like, so you get to play? And I'm just like, oh, yeah. So,
you bastard.
But no, it is that. And it's like, I do try to be honest too, though, like, because, you know, the situation being that it's like, I'll play when I'm with my partner if that's what we both want to do on the night. So, but it can be a bit of fun, like leading them on a little bit and generating a bit of that.
Buzz.
I should probably start doing that. Sometimes I'm a bit awkward penguin and I just go, no. Don't. Especially if it's going to be like a, I don't know, I feel like both situations are not good. It's just say, if it's a yes, it's like, yes, but not now, or no, it's a no. I don't know. I just prefer not to be asked sometimes because it's just like, I don't want to. I feel like you're disappointing either way, right? It's kind of so. There's no answer I'm going to give right now that's not good.
I just tell people we don't play at the club.
Because
then I can just fuck them outside the club. But then I'm also not disappointing anyone else that comes up and asks.
Yeah. I mean, it can be hard. Like, I find, like, you know, like, for the same reasons as like Michelle and I play together. So it's kind of, well, she needs to meet them. So, and then, like, we make a joint decision. I can't just make the decision on my own.
Yeah, that's me too.
I could guess and say, like, these are probably people that she would like, but
yeah,
who knows, right?
Yeah, you can't assume things.
Yeah.
Don't know.
What's one little bit of wisdom that you've gained from, like, becoming the manager here? I'm sure there's some wisdom that you gain. Like,
what's your hot swinger tip?
Yeah, hot swinger tip. You'll learn a lot about your relationship coming here.
Yeah.
A lot.
That's true.
And I think you have to be honest with yourself, and you have to be honest, like, about – it'll bring up – like, you'll see where you're at. Like, this is something, I guess, from jiu-jitsu too, which is, like a hobby that both Lawrence and I share, is that, you know, in competition, you'll fall to the level of your training. And I think you see that ring true in the club. It's like couples will kind of – all, so to speak, to the level of, like, their honesty and their connection and their, yeah, just, like, their communicative health, I think. And it's, like, because you – it's not, like, a super high-pressure space, but the pressure will be put on your relationship in those ways that tests your, you know, those levels of connection and communication. So, yeah, I think it's that. I think it's – allow that process to do what it will to you. And I think for us, it's been challenging, but it's also been, like, challenging in a healthy way. Like, we've grown so much from what's been brought up between us related to engaging in this lifestyle.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That makes sense.
No, that makes a lot of sense. Great advice. I mean, a great way to think about things.
Hot tip.
Yeah, because I feel like a lot of times you can be... I mean, we talk about this a lot. It's just like we've talked about the swinging or non-monogamy can be the magnifying glass of your relationship. If there's cracks, it's going to make them chasms. If there's really good, strong foundations, it's just going to make it flourish. But I guess, like, I guess in the sense that message conveys, it's just like you shouldn't come here if you aren't 100% okay. But you can't ever know, I suppose, is what I'm getting from your message. It's like you might... In ordinary daily life, you do have a fantastic relationship, but then you come here and you start to work out pretty quickly. Is our communication as good as we think it is? Whatever, and then you can maybe take stock and, you know, you come here for the first time, then you just go, hey, actually, that didn't work so well. What didn't work? Let's try and fix it and then come back. Rather than feeling like we have to be perfect before we even try.
Yeah.
Because I mean, what's perfect anyway, right? So
yeah.
I mean, that's a great way of looking at it. So
yeah, and I think that really speaks to a pitfall that I think you do see, like when you do see couples come unstuck and like they clash. And I think that's the pitfall, is coming in and being like, unless we have the experience we're expecting, unless we come in and we're like hot shots and we have the fantasy experience, we're deeply flawed in some way,
or yeah.
our relationship's flawed.
Yeah.
And yeah. So coming in and noting that in yourself and being open to the experience that you do have, rather than hoping for something and inevitably falling short.
Yeah. Amazing advice. Great way to cap it off, I feel. Yeah, that was really good.
It was really nice.
Yeah, I think it's important that people have that
well-rounded conversation.
Self-awareness.
Yeah.
Yeah. And no expectations in terms of having expectations. I feel like that's what we... It is a little circular for
us. It sounds a bit like well-rounded. That's why I'm like, it just kind of does this.
Yeah.
I know I'm just drawing in the air, but whatever. You guys can see it and you can understand
it. When we give the newbie talk, it's like not having expectations, but it's kind of like everyone has expectations. The only thing you should expect from this is to probably learn something and be kind to like the yourself and your partner that like, you know, you're not always going to get it 100% right. And you can go away and learn something from that in yourselves. So, yeah. Thank you very much, Jay, for joining us.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yay. That's going to do it for today's episode. Just remember, we're doing a shout-out and call-out for bribery. For those of you who don't know, bribery is the part of the podcast where we ask the listeners for a 5-star rating review on Apple Podcasts. If we read out your review on a month in review podcast, we will give you a free entry to the club on an hour of your choice, pending availability.
Why do you always look at me?
It's just where I kind of have to look. I have to look somewhere. If you want to get in touch with us any other way, you can do so via phone 0478-131-769, text or SMS. SMS, text.
Call.
They're the same thing, or call. Social media at Our Secret Spot, all one word. On Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, or head to...
X.
Sorry. Everyone knows what I mean. Head to our website, oursecretspot.com.au. grab a ticket and come say hello to us in person. Hey, and if you want to join us on the podcast, if you're a couple or a single and you've been to the club and you want to share your stories, your anecdotes or your wisdom, please send us a message on any of those forums and we can happily get in touch and work out a time with you to record. Other than that, we're going to say ciao for now. Thank you very much and we'll catch you on Hump Day in a fortnight. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.